Click on it.
Nope. I hate you, you little person.
Clicking on it. Oh my god.
Channel. Negative Apex. Link to questionamexican.com.
I think I may kill you guys.
Oh my god, you guys, when I'm capturing the flag, you need to guard me! You need to guard me when I'm capturing the flag! Move out of my way!
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. Seth has joined the channel. Paula has joined the channel.
No! God, please, no! No!
Negative Apex has joined the channel.
How overpowered these pistols are!
Enemy pentakill.
They're capturing C! They're capturing C! Oh my god, they're capturing C! Now we're gonna lose.
This sucks.
Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. How's it going, everybody? My name is Lance, a.k.a. Sev, joined by my two amazing, awesome, dashingly handsome friends, Bob, a.k.a. Tool, and Ian, a.k.a. Prowler. What's going on, guys? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Bob? I meant Negative Apex.
I thought I was Negative Apex.
No, that was you. You were Negative Apex last week. And
oh, right.
Yeah, Negative Apex was me, and so on and so forth. And apparently I pissed
him
off.
Did you say Bob, a.k.a. Tool?
Yes.
You're a Tool, you douche.
Anyway, such what's going on, dick. Everybody? Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. We hope everyone's doing great. Hopefully you guys were able to catch our little Q&A thing we did on Twitch streaming. We had a few people coming out. It was awesome. We had some cool questions that didn't make any sense to what we were doing, but hey, it was fun. You know, we're going to keep doing things like that. We're going to keep doing Q&As probably still on Sundays at 7. So if you guys just want to come in and talk to us, make fun of us about how bad we're playing.
That sounds more like it. Make fun of us.
Because, you know, usually we suck at video games, but hey, mm-hmm. We love them. So, you know, come on in, watch us, talk to us, chat with us, you know, and play with us too, which I think would be pretty cool. We could start doing. We could start putting out our Steam names. People can start playing Steam games with us.
Whew.
What do we got going on tonight? We got a few different things going on. Battlefield 5 has been, the title has been released, Hardline.
Hardline.
Which,
yeah.
Let me pull this up. Kind of surprised me.
I don't know what about that title.
I was actually just about to say that the Hardline name kind of surprised me. I kind of thought maybe they were just going to go with the traditional, you know, Battlefield 5, but... Yeah, I guess they were trying to do something different.
Well, maybe with the content we will talk about, maybe that would not make sense. Personally, I think they should have called it Battlefield 4 Hardline.
What, like an expansion to the other one?
Yeah, because it's still a Frostbite 3 engine, so...
Wait, so did going from like Bad Company 2 to... Battlefield 3 to Battlefield 4, it was the same engine though, correct? Or was it upgraded?
No, it was an updated engine.
And so this one, as far as I know, 5 is the exact same engine. It's still going to be Frostbite.
It was.
It's not like Frostbite
as well. Battlefield 4?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean...
Just trust what I say. I'm on the radio. I am almost positive it still uses the same Frostbite 3 engine. So,
well, that's actually, I mean, that's not such a bad thing. I mean, how many games still use Source?
I mean, they still haven't fixed all the problems in Battlefield 4, so Battlefield 5 is looking great.
Well, I thought a lot of the problems with Battlefield 4 was just the, I thought it was just connectivity issues, wasn't it?
Oh no. If only it was
okay,
that.
Real quick, can you touch on just a few of them? Because
I knew that there was a bug where people wouldn't die when you shot them. There was also a bug where people were dying with one shot. Stuff like that.
Well, that last one, I feel like it's not that bad. Dying in one shot, maybe two. I don't know. Isn't that what they did in the hardcore mode?
Yeah, but if it's on like a normal mode and you're dying to one shot, it's totally
apparently it was something that a lot of people took advantage on, and it really made enough of a problem that they had to address it very quickly.
Yeah, so. I mean, well, you could shoot from like across the map and you get hit by a stray bullet and you're dead. If that bug was that serious.
Which, I have only played the beta of Battlefield 4, so I have not seen or experienced these glitches, just seen poor people on YouTube cry.
So from the footage that we saw, it was about 7 minutes of Battlefield 5. How excited are you guys for this because of how different it looks?
I was perplexed.
Really?
Like, I'm excited that it's not typical military Russian blah blah blah.
Right.
But the cops and robbers, it was like, hey, we're paying Playday 3. Wait, Payday? This
Playday?
Isn't Payday.
This is Playdate?
Yes, it's Playdate.
Okay.
It's Playdate 3, guys. All right. I mean, no, like, I thought, hey, it's Payday 3. No, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, like, I got the exact same impression, but this does look way better than Battlefield 4. That's just my own personal opinion, because I really like the fact that, one, they're including things like car chases and helicopter, aerial combat to be used with, you know, these heist type things. Like, some of the modes that we've seen, I guess, I mean, was this really leaked, though, or was it intentional?
Yeah, yeah, the video was leaked.
Because they took it off of YouTube.
They did take it off?
It could be a hype train.
I mean, it's Hardline is a cops versus robbers game, and that's like only what it's going to be. It's not a military game.
And another reason why it's a leak is because if you watch the video or if you catch it, it says Battlefield Omaha.
Yeah, it's a code name,
not the name of the game.
Right, which I was a little confused about, but okay.
Yeah, because it was leaked, they were still using code names and stuff like that. Right.
So some of the modes, we talked about heist. Cops and robbers. You're just robbers trying to break into a bank. And from what I understand, it was by like any means necessary. Anything can happen. Get into the vault.
That's Do you think you're stealing EA's money in that mode?
No, in actual reality, you're stealing your own money. That's the way EA has set up.
Crap.
But one of the other modes.
The more money you take from the vault, the more they charge your credit card.
Yeah. Rescue, which basically has you on the other side, where you're the SWAT team. No, it's a different mode. I'm sorry, completely different mode.
Yeah, it's a different mode.
I don't know what I'm thinking. When I saw SWAT team,
multiplayer.
I just thought of the other one. Yeah. So
it just has the SWAT side trying to rescue hostages.
Why does this sound like a bunch of other games we've played?
Because it sounds a lot like Counter Strike.
And Payday.
But you never did play
CSGO,
the cops,
GTA 5, and Battlefield all had an orgy. Hardline. There you go.
Hey, it sounds like a great idea, though. It looks cool, though.
It does look good.
It does look cool. So, yeah, Rescue, you're just basically rescuing hostages. Hotwire, a little different. It's all about vehicles. But it did look like there were, I'm guessing if you are the criminals, you're the ones in the vehicles. But if you're the police, you're not only in the vehicles, but you're also in helicopters. Looks like you're
I think robbers get helicopters too.
Okay. I couldn't really tell or quite remember if the robbers were in helicopters too, but I remember seeing the guy with the rocket launcher sitting on the side of the helicopter. It looked like he shot up the cars.
So basically, this is a game mode I will not be playing.
Ian gets in car explodes.
Just send me towards the enemy team. I'm sure I'll take out someone. Just stay away from me.
Just load up his car with a bunch of C4 and just head him on out there.
Problem is, pulling out of the base, he'd ram one of us.
Blow up the entire base. Well, game over.
Gets in the car. All right, guys, I got this. Oh, the wheels fell off.
It's not my fault. Wheels come off so easy in games, okay?
The other mode, which is a little different, called Blood Money.
Hitman? Oh, wait.
Yes.
Wrong game.
Blood Money Hitman. Which looks like there are no police or SWAT involved in it, which is basically just purely criminals. You're fighting to secure a large... which sounds like King of the Hill. or territories.
No, I think it is still police. And
yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's, they're just fighting. They're both fighting for the cash.
All of the game modes have robbers and the cops.
I could have sworn I saw footage of... I don't know,
right. Dude, it's this, of, Battlefield. It's online only.
No.
Every single mode has... The cops are trying to secure the blood money for their side, and the robbers are trying to secure it for their side.
Yep.
Every game mode is cops versus robbers.
Okay. Yep. I could have sworn I saw like two like robbers shooting at each other in one of the shots. So I thought maybe this was pointing to that.
We should mention who's making this.
The
Visceral Games.
Yeah, which is talking about... They're working on the single player mode, apparently.
Yeah. I wonder how much involvement DICE has in a multiplayer, considering, not trying to be mean or bash Battlefield 4, it is an amazing game, but I just wonder, like, has this like deviated some of the problems that they've had with Battlefield 4, or are they just going to move on?
DICE did put out an article saying that they are continuing to work on Battlefield 4, I think even after Hardline comes out.
Yeah, they'll continue to support it.
That's so cool.
Yeah, there's. You mean, I don't know what the kind of time frame they're looking at. They're probably thinking like, yeah, you know, when Battlefield 6 is coming out, we should have Battlefield 4 go.
If you think about it, I mean, I love DICE. I think DICE is a great developer. I'm pretty sure EA is the one pushing the, hey, we got to combat, you know, Call of Duty, blah, blah, blah. So yeah,
which probably.
I'm sure they're the ones that are pushing the whole need to come out with another Battlefield. So
yeah, which would, I mean, makes sense. But
yeah,
think about it. EA, like, you're not going to beat Call of Duty at this point. Like, you're going to have better games, but you're still not going to beat Call of Duty in sales. Like, it's just not going to happen until Call of Duty kills itself.
Which the new next Call of Duty looks great.
Yeah.
So I don't see that happening.
Exactly. It does look really fun. And I'm kind of glad that, you know, Call of Duty is trying something different. Battlefield 5 or DICE is trying something different. So
if you say so, sir.
Yeah, but I mean, they've done something different. I mean,
different,
it's not a Call of Duty title, but Titanfall was made by a Call of Duty developer.
You know what? Next, you're going to notice it's going to be Call of Duty Chips. It's just going to be a bunch of cops on motorcycles. That's going to be the whole next Call of Duty because of this Battlefield game. That's what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, they're doing something different from the other Battlefields that they've done.
Yeah.
Is what I meant. Same thing.
Yeah.
Call of Duty. Call of Duty is not necessarily different. The next one, I mean, it's not different, but it's different for the series of Call of Duty and different for Battlefield. So it's nice to see a change of pace coming from these particular two. Would you call them titans, basically, in the industry of video games, first-person shooters, really?
No pun intended.
No pun intended, because unfortunately, Titanfall is not really getting. It's a good game, but it's not going to be able to compete with these two. Do you guys think that the style of gameplay will live up to what we've been used to?
Yeah, it still looks like typical Battlefield. Some of the people analyzing the video were like, hey, it looks more infantry related, maybe there's not going to be as many vehicles, but
I remember them talking about that it's going to be much more team based too.
Yeah.
So that'll be nice. A little bit more teamwork coordination in Battlefield would be nice, because, you know, it is a military game, and the last couple of Battlefields have been military games, and it hasn't really sponsored a lot of cooperation and teamwork. And so I think this new Battlefield, that if they focus more on that side of it, will be funner, new experiences. So it looks good. I mean, the gameplay and the mechanics and zipping across lines and stuff, they've done a lot.
I think it's safe to say, and, you know, back me up here or disagree, whatever, that the maps are going to be much smaller than what we're used to.
Yeah, it does look that way.
Okay. We already talked a little bit about the competition, but of course there's more than just Call of Duty out there. Obviously, this does look like Payday. This does look like Counter-Strike. But what about the other first-person shooters that are out there, military? For instance, Arma. Could we see anything coming out that might relate to this? How would you guys think that it's going to face
up
against
we play cops versus robbers all the time in Arma Life. Arma Altus Life.
Altus Life?
Yeah.
This is going to be a completely different scale, though.
I think it'll fare well against this competition because it's still a Battlefield title. It is stepping into new realms. It's got its continued competition with Call of Duty, like you said, but it's also kind of stepping into that Payday and CSGO area where it's cop versus robbers. But because it's a Battlefield title, it should still fare, but fare well.
Yeah. What do you guys think it could go like in the future? Not particularly in the future in the game, but in the future for us, like where do you think Battlefield could go from this step forward? Because obviously I don't think it would be a great idea to do the same thing again.
Cowboys and Indians?
Yeah, see, Cowboy Indians Battlefield. Yeah.
That would be cool, I think. I think that would be kind of interesting.
No. I was totally joking.
No. But totally racist. No.
you can't play Indians, cool, it's racist. Man. You can play Cowboys. But Indians is racist. Yeah.
I think it would be interesting. I want to see something radical, something different. Radically
I think this
different.
Will be very different and radical, and it's going to catch people off guard.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so. So Battlefield 5, obviously E3, they're going to, well, most likely show something about at E3.
I just hope they don't have a hard time showing off the demo.
Wow. Ha, ha, that didn't even... It's a good one. Okay, Battlefield 5, awesome. Watch Dogs came out this last week, right? I believe. Yeah. Last week.
How much do you love it?
I like the game a lot. So basically we're gonna get into Josh and I have played the game, and we're going to get in.
I have not.
Our bit of our first impressions, reviews, and maybe some of what other people thought of the game. First off, Watch Dogs came out. It was first announced 2 years ago at E3 2012. And it finally came out, and it was probably one of the more anticipated games this year. I mean, can y'all think of anything
else? Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it was one of the top anticipated games. I mean, that's easy to say. It was one of the big titles.
Yeah,
it was one of the big titles this year.
Do you guys feel like it delivered on that hype?
I don't know. I haven't played it.
Well, I'm sure you've read some of the reception on it, right?
I've enjoyed the game.
It looks great.
I've enjoyed playing it. It's a lot of fun. I don't think a lot of people feel that it lived up to the hype. And that's the problem with big games, is that they come out with this so much hype, and then when they're released, they're not as great. But I definitely think it was worth the money spent on it.
Yeah.
So...
I definitely feel like a lot of people's concerns are over things just like the graphics. At least that's what I've been seeing when I look on the internet, is a lot of people are just upset about the downgrade and the graphics, I can be upset about that too. It's not a big deal, but I don't think I would be raging on and on and on about it, even though I do feel a little lied to.
Yeah, I mean, because the graphics were supposed to be like next gen. The graphics were supposed to be really good. And that totally wasn't delivered on
it. We should have known better, because it was coming on the 360 and the PS3, that it wasn't going to be fully optimized for next generation. So any game, to me, if it's still going to show up on the 360 and the PS3, it ain't going to look next gen.
And on that point about optimization, real quick, before we go any further, Ubisoft is planning to put out a patch for at least the PC version first, I believe, to fix a lot of the performance issues that they're having. Because, frankly, for my game to run better on Ultra than it runs on Medium makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Anyway, so good graphics. We'll get that out of the way. We've got that out of the way now. The graphics have been downgraded. It's a little bit of a disappointment. The gameplay itself, Josh, how do you feel about the mechanics running around the city, interacting with things? Do you feel like it's run smoothly or not?
Oh, yeah. I totally think the gameplay overall is very smooth. The shooting works well. The jumping segments and platforming segments work well. The stealth system works well from what I've seen. And though you'll probably complain about it, the driving I find is it works fine for me. Like I really don't have an issue with it, but I know that you say you have like you've had a horrible time with driving. So I guess it's I don't know what the difference is. So
I'm not sure what it is. Maybe it's a sensitivity thing on here, but for the driving, it what I have noticed is only in particular vehicles I have issues with, like vehicles that have rear wheel drive, like the old like 70 Camaro that they have in there. It is absolutely impossible to control. Absolutely impossible. But a motorcycle, it's like a breeze. I can weave in and out of traffic without hitting a pole or a pedestrian or anything. So the driving mechanics did drive me really insane up the wall in the beginning.
Was that intentional?
Yes. it did drive me nuts, but I did start to get used to it. But there were times where I really just wanted to stop playing the game because of how frustrating the driving was. Everything else, the gameplay, moving around the city, walking, interacting with the crowds, interacting with devices. I will say one of the more fun things is when I am able to control the car and I am in either I am in pursuit of somebody or I am being pursued. It's very easy to still drive and interact with the environment, the roads, devices. It's still very easy to interact with them without running off the road or losing control of where you are. So I really like how they did that. I feel like the stealth in the game reminds me so much of like Splinter Cell and Metal Gear Solid. I feel like there's real stealth. And that actually kind of brought back some nice little old memories of playing Splinter Cell, to be honest. The good parts. So I really like the stealth in it. It kind of feels like I'm playing a futuristic Assassin's Creed, but that's okay. I like it. go ahead.
IGN gave it a, let's see, 8.4, I believe.
Yeah. Actually, it wasn't as much as I thought they were going to give.
Say what?
It wasn't as much as I thought that they were going to give.
Yeah, me too.
But here's the thing.
Well, as I was going to say is, what would you rate it?
I probably would give it... I definitely would give it more than an 8.4. I'd probably say anywhere from an 8.8 to a 9. The graphics is kind of just, I'm on the fence about, I don't know. I don't really care about it, but I feel like I should have what was shown earlier. That's the only, you know, negativity thing on it. I'm not big on graphics, but yeah. And then just driving. The driving just really frustrates me so much sometimes in the game that, like I said before, I want to stop playing it. And anything that's making me want to stop playing the game at any point in time, it's a pretty bad. I mean, I'm looking at IGN's, their con is the weak car chases. But I mean, I don't know if that's saying driving or just the car chases in general. And then the other thing he's saying is the auto fail stealth missions, which I don't really know what he's talking about in that. I haven't really experienced anything like that yet, so who knows. I definitely feel like I probably would give it a 9 because the driving in it is just so frustrating that I don't think I could give it any more than that. The story is good so far. I think I'm in act 2. Story is intriguing so far. The voice acting is cool. You know, the hacking is really fun in the game. There's a lot of different missions that you can do, whether it's like stopping a criminal or taking a contract to like deliver a car. There's even stealth car missions where you have to drive through a city and not be detected by the police, and the police are like,
oh, dear,
searching for you. So that is really cool. Like driving down the road and it's nighttime and you're trying to actually keep the car at a normal speed. And then a cop goes by. It's like you pull off into a parking spot and hide in the car, you know? So there's like the stealth car driving parts, which is pretty neat. What about you, Josh? What rating would you give it?
I honestly, I have to give it similar to IGN. It would either be between an 8 and an 8.5, because graphics was a huge thing. If I had a rig that could run it on Ultra, and I ran it on Ultra, and it wasn't, you know, as pretty as they promised, I would be mad. And it still kind of bums me out how degraded the graphics are from the original videos and images. So that really bummed me out. On the other hand, the story is really intriguing, and that's really important, obviously, for a single player game like this, which I'm not saying it's all single player, but like the main focus of the game. So it was a really good game, but I don't think it's 10 worthy. I'd probably give it an 8.5.
Yeah.
I think my biggest problem with the game is I don't have it.
You don't have it. You know, there was one other thing that I might have to lower the rating down slightly is the constant performance issues that it has. There's a lot of stuttering, but they did say they're going to patch it. I just don't know how well it's going to run after that. I had another point, but I can't remember what it was. The multiplayer experiences and the other side experiences. There's a few other things I want to touch on. The multiplayer experience is neat. Players can infiltrate your game seamlessly and will start to hack you. You have to go find them and hunt them down and kill them. Or you could be the one infiltrating a game. If you're the one hacking someone else, you do have to go through a loading screen with that, unfortunately. And it's really neat being able to stalk another player. There is racing in the game. You up against 8 other players. There is a like co-op free roam that you can play with your friends. You can explore Chicago and do missions together, and all the while there's other players that are in the city too that you can run into. There's the online mobile challenge, which is really neat. You have to run from the cops. The cops are a player that is either on their cell phone or on a tablet, and they're controlling the police. So that's really neat. I've tried out the app, and it's really cool to be able to control the police and knowing that you're chasing down somebody in the game Watch Dogs. And then the other side games that they have, which I've tried out all of them, and it's kind of neat. One of them is the spider tank, which you literally control a spider tank that can jump on the side of buildings and walk up the walls. And your goal is to basically do as much damage to the city as you possibly can.
I'd rather be Spider-Man.
Dude, it's really cool. I'll have to show it to you at some point. But the spider tank is really fun. There's another mode called Alone, which is where like the entire city was taken over by robots. And you're the only person left in the city. And you have to sneak between these robots and reach these like terminals or transformers that you have to explode to bring power back to the city. And that is really cool. It's really kind of different and tense. If anyone's seen the Simon Pegg movie, World's End, it reminds me a lot of that. And then they have this other mode. I cannot remember the name of it, but basically you're high and you're
I know bouncing. That game mode a lot.
Yeah. You're bouncing from flower to flower to flower, and it's like shooting you up in the sky, and you're like flying to the sky, and your goal is to hit each flower, and it's kind of funny.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's really, I'll have to show it to you. It's really funny. And then there's another one where you drive a car from hell, and your goal is to run down as many pedestrians as you possibly can.
Oh, God. That is the game type that I should not play, because I probably win.
So, you know, there's a lot of different things that they have going on in the game, and not just the single player, which is a big thing for me, is replayability. And that game has a lot. So, I think they did really well with the game. I can't wait for a Watch Dogs 2, because I'm sure they'll do one. And because it's Ubisoft also, you know, how many Assassin's Creed games do we have? Just as many.
80,000.
Just as many Call of Duties as we have, it seems.
Did you say so, duties?
Duty? Did I? Call of Duty. Did I?
Call of Duty.
Duty. So anyway, it's a great game, guys. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. You know, look up all the reviews if you're still not sure, but it's a really good game. I love it a lot, and I'm probably going to end up playing it for a good long while afterwards.
So you're happy you bought it?
I'm very happy I bought it. Are you?
Totally happy I bought it, too.
Yeah. So what else we got going on? I think we had a Dragon Age bit.
Oh, yes, we do.
Pull my notes back up, but apparently I closed it down.
Well, we got Dragon Age Inquisition, and we've gotten some new screenshots recently about the game, and it's very, very pretty screenshots.
Super pretty.
Super pretty.
Yeah, Dragon Age looks completely different from the other ones, as in graphics-wise. It looks absolutely amazing, and let's hope they don't downgrade this, please. Because I actually have not been able to play any of the Dragon Age games, but by looking at these, I think I'm going to. Josh, I think you're the only one who's actually played any of them. What is your take on this new the look and some of the new gameplay and the new mechanics and stuff like that?
I am totally excited for this game. The biggest difference I am finding in this is that the game is going to be huge. Like, the map is going to be Skyrim or bigger huge. Yeah. When you're out in the world, you're going to be fighting dragons like in Skyrim. The really cool thing about fighting a dragon, and this is a quote from Cameron Lee, the producer, and it reads, "When I'm attacking a dragon, I'm not just hitting all of it. I'm hitting its leg, I'm hitting its wing, and that should matter. It should matter where I attack a dragon. That's something we're really trying to lean on, and when we come to E3, we really will really be able to show it in all its glory," end quote. That's something that really excites me, is the tactical against a dragon.
Yeah, I mean, if it were me, I just wouldn't attack the dragon, and then everybody would live. So
it talked about like the dragon mechanics, where it's not a static dragon where it's turn based. I hit it. It hits dragon? Me.
Like the ones in Skyrim. It's that very just sit there and attack.
It's very dynamic combat.
I'm thinking of like electrical. Which static
dragons move
static,
too,
as in they don't move.
I am very static all the time.
I know. Yes.
It talks about how the dragon will like pounce around. It'll fly off and do strafing runs. If you hit it with something in the air and you like take out its wing and it like crashes into a castle, the castle will be obliterated. And that's another thing, the destructible environments. Your castles and your keeps can be destroyed. Buildings can be destroyed. They talked about how if you destroyed like a fleet later in the game, if it was like one of your enemy's fleets or it's somebody that became your enemy, that destroying their boats early on would hurt them later on as far as like moving supplies and stuff and soldiers. The game is all about building an army to face something, and I guess it's dragons. I don't know what yet.
a
bigger threat than dragons or dragons. I don't know.
It's the White Walkers.
But you're building a army. It's like all the concepts of the game sound really awesome. They're still keeping Dragon Age 1 and 2's game mechanics. You can still pause the game and issue orders to your companions and then unpause the game and enjoy the action combat. But so even though like the action is real time and the combat's real time, you can still pause it at any point and issue new commands. So that's a very important part of keeping Dragon Age Dragon Age. And so it's going to follow a similar combat system as Dragon Age 1 and 2.
Oh, I just went to the website and the music started playing.
Yeah, if you look at if you go to Dragon Age Inquisition and you can look at the map, it's huge, and so it's going to be at least as big as Skyrim, if not bigger.
That's really good. Really good to know. Specifically because Skyrim was huge. So what in particular are you looking forward to in the game?
There's two things. There's the dragon combat, which just sounds really fun. It sounds almost like a Monster Hunter mix. And the building of armies and that all that goes along with having a large army. And you don't even have to build an army. You can build like a commerce, like a...
Is that the agent system?
Like a big business.
Is that the agent system that was listed in there?
Well, you have agents, but you actually have like keeps and armies and men. And then you can send like agents, which maybe will command armies for you or something like that. It talked about how like if you sent one of your quote unquote agents into like this area that was like poisoned with poison gas and you had them clear the gas and like cap off it or whatever, then later on in the game, you could go in and explore that area. So it's very dynamic storyline, very dynamic gameplay. Choices that you make early on will affect what happens later on in the game.
Which is typical BioWare style.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I kind of want to go play the first one now because I bought it on Steam like ages ago and I never played it yet. This actually sounds really cool.
Yeah, it looks a lot to be a lot of fun. The release date, guys, is October 7th, 2014. So look for it at the end of this year.
So, whoops. Steam machines. Oh, making mess ups in our notes. There we go. We got a small, quick Steam machine update, and it's about the controllers. It's actually going to be delayed until 2015. Apparently, there was something going on with it. Yeah, wasn't this already delayed?
No, but it was supposed to come out in 2014, but it's been delayed till early 2015, and it's due to testing feedback. And that's a good thing, because quoting from the article is that they state that they've received like a lot of testing feedback. And so they've been applying these changes, and that's why it's being delayed, is that they're changing the controller due to the test feedback, which is a good thing because it'll make a better controller.
I'm sorry, this controller just looks too much like the Xbox.
I don't know what to say about the Steam machine. It's like the more and more they show it, just call it a PC. That runs on Linux. That's really tiny. Stop calling it a Steam machine. That's how I feel about it right now.
They're not going to because it's Valve, it's Steam.
It's like, oh, it's Steam.
It's going to be their brand name for it now. But yeah,
and
but I mean, would you consider? Okay, so you need another computer or something to game on. Would this be
instead
considered?
Of buying one from like. You know, like Alienware or one of the other vendors, you can easily build your own cheaper, and the Steam OS is free. So I think it's still in beta, but it is free. And there are plenty of tutorials online to install it. So rather just wing it and make your own.
So basically you can build your own Steam machine right now?
If I had the money, yes.
Cool.
Do you think you can make it better, though, for cheaper?
Well, no, they're selling some for, like, you know, they'll throw, like, a GTX Titan in there. There's some of the options on some of the Steam machine makers. It's like, why would you need that?
Was there any customizability? I don't know if that's a word.
customize the ability of the Steam machine?
No. Was there any customization involved in these Steam machines? Like, can I customize the parts?
Yeah.
Was it just pre-built, like, this is going to have a Titan?
No, it's like a lot of the custom PC boutiques we see.
Right.
Usually given, like, several options to pick from. You know, I can't remember if Steam ever said that they were, you know, officially going to come out with one, but everybody else, it seems like you kind of get to pick and choose what you want. So
that makes me think of another thing, like looking at this controller to you guys and, you know, to our audience. What do you prefer, a controller or a keyboard and mouse in your gaming?
I prefer, especially I can't speak English right now. So I've always been a controller guy. I mean, like, I can't explain it. I even aim better in sniping with a controller than I do with a mouse and a keyboard. I don't know why. Maybe it's the years and years of experience I have with a controller. So
The one question I would like answered, will the Steam controller be able to be used with normal computers?
I don't know. Yeah.
That's something we'll have to keep a heads up for, because if the controller is well made and well optimized for a computer, this could be an excellent controller just to pick up for your normal gaming.
You know what? I bet if you took that controller apart, you would find some hint about Half-Life 3.
Oh goodness.
I had to throw that in there.
That would actually be kind of funny. They like put a little sticker logo of Half-Life 3 in,
like,
there.
Please try again another 10 years.
Yeah, I was just curious. I'm kind of the same thing, Ian. I was really into using controllers, but now I think I'm more leaning towards keyboard and mouse. What about you, Josh?
Oh yeah, I'm totally better with a keyboard and mouse. I've always been better with a keyboard and mouse, so
somebody's confident.
Mm-hmm.
So Bethesda has announced a new game, and Bethesda is very famous for making very popular games like Fallout and Skyrim, The Elder Scrolls, and quite a few other ones. I think they did Thief too, the new one. So this new game called Battle Cry. What kind of information do we have on this? What genre is it?
We have actually quite a lot of information on it. I guess you would say a melee multi-shooter. I don't know. It's a lot like Team Fortress.
Attack on Titan gameplay. And Full Metal Alchemist all mixed together. I don't know. I just look at the screenshots and I'm like, what the? This is weird.
It's a lot like the gameplay for Team Fortress, but melee combat more incorporated in it.
Right.
You should like copyright that.
I should copyright that. Yeah. Okay. It's like basically it has some interesting features. It's going to be a 32 player online game. So 16 versus 16. It's set in a future with no gunpowder. A lot of the weapons can transform, like a sword will be able to transform into a shield. So that's, you know, that's interesting. It'll focus on, like I said, melee combat, and but there will be long range weapons in there. One of the weapons they talked about was a heavy crossbow that could be used from long range.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now.
And another one was like two pistol crossbows, and then they could like combine together into like a longer rifle crossbow. So it's pretty interesting.
This looks like some of the weapons look like energy based. Particularly the gadget tier, I guess that's okay. Maybe that's just gears and all look together. It looked like a plasma gun or something.
It looks interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, the gadget tier.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a magnetic Gauss cannon. That's what it says in the art. A magnetic Gauss gun.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Because there's no gunpowder.
Right.
Gunpowder was banned, and so now everything has to be all steampunky.
Of course. Well, it looks... I mean, I was actually looking at some of the comments on the bottom, and the top comment does have an interesting point where it said, I don't think it looks bleak, but basically he says it's Team Fortress 2 minus the humor and then filtered through Dishonored. Which I think...
That's a good point.
I don't know if that's really a bad thing, though, or not. I mean, I'm kind of. It's kind of interesting to see, you know, another developer is trying to take the thing that Team Fortress did and turning it into something different. It looks really cool. Apparently, there's quite a bit of few customizations. You did mention that was free to play, though, right?
Yes, it will be free to play. So, you know, it's easy to try out because it doesn't cost you anything. And the gameplay looks fun. Team Fortress is fun. So this looks like a lot of fun, and it's melee instead. So it's something, it's different. It's a different style of gameplay. So,
and that's all gamers want is different. Most of the time, right?
Yeah, we always like different. Trying different things.
Yeah. Cool. So Battlecry, it's a new game by Bethesda. So look for that. Maybe we'll see something about it at E3. You know, the funny thing is it, even though it is being made by Bethesda, it does look like an indie game kind of. But there's a few other indie games that are going to be shown at E3. What do you guys think about, is there any particular indie? I know we talked about this on the Q&A, but obviously not all of our fans are listening to that. But are there any particular indie games that we're really looking forward to at E3?
You guys should go first, because I know you guys can ramble on forever.
I actually don't know of any games that are coming out.
Star Citizen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Star Citizen. It doesn't feel like an indie game because it has so much money.
Yeah, but it is. So
yeah.
It's Purdy.
Do you guys think that they'll actually show something in E3 on it? Because they didn't do that before. I mean, and Star Citizen's been in development for probably 5 years, maybe.
They've already got, like, if you've donated, you can already access like the modules and stuff. So, I mean, I'm sure they'll update us with a little bit of stuff, but there's not like, they're not keeping the game development secret. So there's not a big revelation to give out at E3.
They'll probably just end up doing like a side booth thing, like during an interview or something. Like, it's definitely not going to be on the floor. The conference floor, I mean. Because, well, when it's indie.
Mighty Number 9.
You know, one thing I wanted to talk about tonight is there was an article on PC Gamer that I read. And it talked about how indie games lately have been flooding the market. And now it seems like there's too many indie games.
Well, they're crowdfunded games. I mean, somebody comes up with a good idea and it's not a major developer, and people are like, hey, this looks really cool. I'm going to put $5 or $10 or however much money they put towards it. And it takes off. So you can't like blame companies. It's gamers are causing this flood of indie games.
Do you think it's hurting the indie scene though? Because we've got, we used to find like, you know, 20 indie games come out in 2 months and there's one or two jewels and it's easy to, you know, it's easy to filter through all of these indie games. Do you think it's hurting the industry?
I don't think it's any different than the normal game industry. I mean, there are a lot of copycats. I mean, there are a lot of games that look exactly alike, but you can say that about the main gaming industry. So
that's true.
As long as you can make something innovative and interesting, it's the same thing.
What do you think about Steam has released more games so far in 2014 than it did all games last year?
Yeah, that's because Steam, I mean, I could probably safely say that, I don't know, 65-70% of the games on there are indie games. There's a ton of indie games on there. You can't surf through Steam and not find a single indie game on there. Like I say, a lot of that to do is because of Steam and because of PlayStation, Sony's backing for indie games.
And you got the Humble Bundle offering a lot of indie games at Humble Bundle prices.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't blame Steam for the situation. You know, they're just hosting the games, and like Prowler brought out that it is crowdfunded. Most Steam games are, or most indie games are.
Or they have early access or something of the sort. Yeah.
Right.
So another game that's not so indie, but a lot of people are looking forward to. It's the next Unreal Tournament. Epic Games Woo-hoo. Have released the first gameplay of a free-to-play. Yes, you heard that right. Free-to-play Unreal Tournament. What do you guys take on this? Does it look cool? You guys excited?
They barely show anything. It's more like nothing in the video, but we know it's going to use the newest Unreal Engine, and it's going to be really purdy.
What do you guys think? And
like I said, it was like my first PC game that I ever played. So
you can't really judge the gameplay because, like Prowler said, like literally the environment is a bunch of gray boxes and stuff.
Hey, what's going to be that then?
It looks, you know, it's going to be like an Unreal Tournament game. So we know what Unreal Tournament, if you've ever played it, you know what the game is going to be like. It's fast paced action, a lot of jumping and stuff. It's going to be free to play, but I also believe that it's not even going to have a cash shop. It's going to be like completely free, everything. So,
wow.
I want to say it was going to be community driven, where community people could sell stuff or something like that.
Kind of like what they do on the Steam Workshop.
Yeah. I think community developers will actually be able to sell their creations. I'm not sure. There was an article I read a while back, but we will keep you guys updated on this, because it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So we're revisiting our old tech segment, and we have a new vein. I can't speak.
New vein.
We have a new name for it. It's called
Don't Be So Vain.
Prowler's Tech Mex. Or did we settle on Tech Mex or Drunken Tech Mex? I don't know.
I wanted to call it Ian's Drunken Tech Mex or Prowler's Drunken Tech Mex.
Yeah, you go with that.
So,
bye.
We're going to do Prowler. This is the introduction to our new segment, Prowler's Tech Mex. Take it away, Prowler.
Okay. My dog would please get away from me. Thank you. NVIDIA has announced, or they've released actually a week or two ago, their Titan Z. $3,000 for a graphics card. You guys going to buy me one?
Absolutely.
And then we're just going to look at it because can't buy anything else. The only people I can see buying this is like somebody that's got a bunch of monitors they don't know what to do with, or playing job on 4K. That's a lot of power. And even though it is a very powerful graphics card, the TDP is only 375 watts. So that's how much power it needs to run. And that's crazy considering a normal Titan, one Titan, this is two, is 250 TDP.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So that's kind of neat that they were able to do that. But anyway, like I said, that's an enthusiast or hey, I've got to burn. So, yeah. One exciting thing that happened, I think today, is Crucial announced their MX100 SSD 2.5-inch drive. Now, what's really cool about this is the price. It is a mainstream SSD. Not saying that it's bad or awful. There are better performing SSDs out there, but for the price, you can get a 512 gigabyte for $225, and you can get a 256 gigabyte for $109. That's nuts for an SSD. That's really cheap, really good bargain. And if you're thinking about upgrading to an SSD, but it costs too much and you can't get enough capacity, I would definitely look here. So you got a laptop you need to upgrade, or you just want to put all your Steam collection on an SSD, go look at it. The Crucial MX100. Computex is going on right now. A lot of tech news. Keep an eye out on our Facebook and our Twitter page. We will post stuff as much as we can. It's only 2 days. I think it's Tuesday and Wednesday. Anyway, Main Gear is now offering with their systems the Devil's Canyon's Haswell refresh processors. I talked about them last week a little bit. The ones that were released right now or that are out right now are just plain old i5s and i7s, and the Devil's Canyon, they are K parts, so they are unlocked. You can overclock them and get them up to 4.4 4.5 gigahertz if you have the cooling to do it. And knowing Main Gear and their prices, they probably already have a setup for you already overclocked, so if you have the money to dish out, you can go ahead and buy a system for them or wait for them to come out and make your own. Crucial announces their Ballistics Elite DDR4 memory. Now, what's cool about this is I don't know when it's coming out. I could not find like a release date or anything like that. But the new modules, DDR4, offer twice the bandwidth of the mainstream DDR3 memory that we use right now. So it's going to deliver improved system responsiveness, increased frame rates in gaming, of course, and it's going to be 40% more power efficient, and that's going to be great for buying smaller power supplies and so on. So basically, it's designed for the ultimate game experience or content creators, people that need good, quick render times. And as far as I know right now, the soonest you will see this will be on the Intel X99 platforms, which I think come out towards the end of the year. Intel hasn't really given a yay or nay on that. So eventually, though, as we know, DDR4 will replace DDR3 as, next year progresses. So there you go.
Cool.
That's all my news.
Well, that was Prowler's Tech Mex. Thanks again. And we're going to go right into Negative Apex's quickie.
All right. Well, State of Decay Lifeline DLC came out May 30th, and it's featuring a new city, characters, and objectives, and it'll only cost your wallet $6.99. WildStar's official release date was June 3rd, and this new and upcoming MMO features at launch several adventures, dungeons, and raids, including both 20 and 40 man, along with open world PvP, PvP battlegrounds, and 40 versus 40 war plots. It also launching with player housing, public events, and 2 factions, 4 races each, and 6 classes. Developer Ready at Dawn has announced delays to The Order 1886, which won't be released till early 2015 now. They're quoted as saying, "As we look to bring this experience to the players, we have decided to spend some extra time to deliver on the promise we made when we first introduced the game. As such, you can expect The Order 1886 to come exclusively to the PlayStation 4 in early 2015. The Evil Within has been delayed to an October release date, Bethesda. But yeah, that
word.
Yeah, announced. The Evil Within will launch on October 21st in North America, October 23rd in Australia and New Zealand, and October 24th in Europe. Mortal Kombat 10 has been announced. It's due to come out sometime next year on PC, as well as current and last-gen consoles. It will be on a new engine with new characters and new game modes. And that's my quickie for the week.
So, guys, we're running a little bit low on time. Anyone who is listening to the show live, we're going to go ahead and stop right here. But anyone who's listening through our downloads, we're going to keep on going. We got a few more things we're going to talk about. So if you want to stick around, just have to go in and download the show afterwards. But I wanted to mention a bit on the League of Legends standings on where we're at. I didn't get to watch the entire LCS this weekend. I was able to watch a few games. Yeah. I wanted to point out at least just the standings and actually how surprising they are.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of cool different things coming out. This is not at all what I expected. But take a guess, you guys, on who's number one right now.
The new Asian team.
Nope.
Really?
LMQ. The Asian team that was 4-0 last week is no longer on a winning streak.
What?
The number one team right now is Team Dignitas. With 5 wins and 1 loss. And when they interviewed Skara, I thought it was hilarious. They asked Skara, he goes, "So what do you guys think, you know, made your team succeed so well, you know, in the summer split?" And he goes, "Well, we just rolled the dice and we got lucky, and so now we're winning." And that was it. That was the end of his comment. And so they went on.
We do that every league game.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We lose.
So second place, we have Cloud9 with 4-2. And LMQ, the Chinese team, is knocked down to third place. And then another surprise, CounterLogic Gaming has made it into fourth place. There are 4-2. Actually, CounterLogic and LMQ are tied for third place. Actually, no. Whoa, back up.
Whoa.
Cloud9, LMQ, and CLG are all tied for second place. There.
Wow.
That's correct. With Team Solo Mid in third place. And you have Curse coming in at fifth. I'm sorry. God, I can't get more. All these things are all messed up. They're in fourth place with 2-4, which is... I'm actually can't wait to see TSM and Curse go one-on-one simply because of Xspecial and Cop. I would love to see them laying together against TSM. Evil Geniuses. What?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Evil Geniuses and Complexity are tied for fifth place. So with 1-5... I'm kind of sad because Evil Geniuses and Complexity have been constantly at the bottom of the standings. One thing I've noticed with these top teams is the owners or the coaches, whoever makes these decisions, whenever they start to perform poorly, the players get benched for a time period, or if they continue to perform poorly consistently, then they get replaced. That's one thing I've not noticed at all with Evil Geniuses or Complexity. At least none that I've heard of or kept track of. Nobody's been benched or replaced. Basically, my thought is they're going to continue to be in the bottom of the ladder for the rest of the summer split. Evil Geniuses in particular seems like the only times they can ever win is when they're going against Complexity. And when Complexity wins, they're going against Evil Geniuses or something. It's like a 50-50 chance between the two of them. So that's the standings that we currently have in week 2. It's kind of shocking to see Team Dignitas in first place. Maybe it's because of Skara's coaching, and because they have their 2 new solo laners. And then it's shocking. We saw a really intense, awesome game between Cloud9 and LMQ. That was extremely close, but Cloud9 was able to pull out ahead on that. TSM, I don't know what's going on with them. They need to get their act together and get right back into where they should be, which is number one. So I'm literally looking forward to see. I am biased. I'm really looking forward to see where we're going to go in the next few weeks and see who actually is going to be number one. Because at this point, I mean, from everyone but Evil Geniuses and Complexity, they all could have the shot at being number one. So it'll be very interesting. So, Josh, You still there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Awesome. You had something you wanted to point out.
Yeah, I kind of took a scroll back in memory lane. I was looking at some of our old shows, and I noticed our first show was on January 8th, which means our E3 show next week will be our 6-month anniversary for Rage Quit Radio.
Wait.
Wait.
6 month.
6 month anniversary.
Yeah, we started
next week.
January.
Yep, January 8th. So next week will be our 6 month anniversary.
Wow.
And guess what? Yeah, and it's E3. That's perfect. We totally planned
that. How have we done this long?
You know, I really got to say thanks to all of our fans for supporting us. Did not really think that this was going to be something that people were really, I guess people interested in us or me. But, you know, we've seen people responding to, we've seen people interacting with us, and we really appreciate all of you guys listening to us. We realize that you guys can go listen to other podcasts or get your news elsewhere, but the fact that you're picking us really does mean a lot. It really, you know, helps us to stay motivated and to continue on doing this podcast. And hey, here's to hoping that next E3 we can be giving you guys live feed from E3 on the floor before anybody else.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Let's,
you know,
do that.
Looking back though at our first show, because I had to listen to it, man, we had a zillion jokes back then, guys.
And now the show gets canceled.
Were guaranteed to make you laugh.
Yeah,
you should
I'm guessing
now.
I'm guessing that was when we did the League of Legends jokes.
Yeah, it was awesome. So wow. Yeah, we totally appreciate everybody downloading the show each week, watching us live. It's been fun doing it for 6 months. We hope to do it for another 6 months. Check us out next week, guys. We've got E3, so we'll be giving you some amazing coverage. It'll be going live June 11th. And if you haven't already, guys, come and talk to us. Watch our streams. It's twitch.tv/ragequitradio, facebook.com/ragequitradio, or twitter.com/MLR Rage Quit. Ask us anything you want. We'll answer you. If you just want to chat, come play with us sometime, or just watch our streams. But it's been awesome.
And just pointing out on the streams, I was going to say to everybody, sometime very soon, in the very near future, we're going to set up a schedule for our streams so that you guys will be able to look forward to a point where we know what we're going to stream, instead of just trying to tune in whenever we're streaming or whenever we post it on Facebook. So we'll have like a set schedule of some time during the week or on the weekend, so that you guys can, you know, have something to look forward to and know that when we're gonna, you know, we'll be streaming.
Can watch us be bad at video games.
Be bad at video games and die in Arma over and over. So again, thanks for watching or listening, because this is a radio show.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the show. Can't wait to do our E3 show next week and talk so much about that. So thanks for listening, guys. Have a good night.
Night, guys.
Bye.